once again. Episode 15, Trent? 15 of 15. The Reporter's Corner. I'm 15. One half year. 15.
Yep.
I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Urbato from the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the aforementioned Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good. Just wrapped up another interview with our guest this week, Tynan Ewart from Northern Michigan. It was a good chat. And we went over a lot of stuff just over his career and everything. And we'll do a little bit of a season update here on the CCHA. And Jared, should we talk about the standings now? Should we just go right into that?
Yeah, because Trent and I were on the CCHA show this morning, and I think that one went long. Like,
it did go long.
Yeah, about an hour 20. And for some
three guests.
Yeah. And somehow in an hour and 20 minutes, none of us mentioned the CCHA standings in full. I mean, we talked to, like, there's some battles at the top. There's some battles in the middle. There's some battles at the bottom. We talked about, like, St. Thomas Bemidji State is a 7-6 matchup this weekend. But other than that, I don't recall us talking standings at all. And after a really, really interesting weekend in CCHA play, there's a good amount to chat about.
For sure. And obviously, let's start at the top. I mean, Minnesota State still sitting at the top. They're the team to beat still for sure. But I'm starting to think this gap is closing a little bit between them, the 2-3. A lot's going to be shaken out here this weekend, though, when you talk about the 2-3. You know, you've got Augustana taking on Bowling Green, and that's probably the marquee matchup in the conference this weekend. But, you know, obviously Minnesota State's still that team to beat. Riding High, Rhett Pitlick, Alex Tracy, those guys are have been the focus of this team so far. And then, you know, down the road, you got Augustana, Bowling Green behind them in third, Michigan Tech in fourth, and then, you know, Lake State in fifth. And I think in the middle of this conference too, Jared, it's still a battle too. And right in that 4-5 spot, we know how big that is. In terms of home ice in the playoffs, it's still, there's a lot up for grabs.
Yeah. And I think with Minnesota State too, it kind of at that Christmas break point, everybody was like, it's obviously theirs to lose. And, the lead at times almost felt insurmountable, but if we look at it right now, you know, they have a 7-2-9 points percentage and Augustana is behind them with a 6-6-7. And August, you know, if we were going by league points, which means if we doubled, every team has played 16 CCHA games and Augustana has played 8. So if we doubled Augustana's points, they would be one game behind Minnesota State, and only two, and Bowling Green is two games behind Minnesota State. So that, what felt like an insurmountable lead, is dwindled down to one game with 5 weekends left, and Minnesota State still has to play Augustana. And, you know, even if we move down the list a little bit, Ferris State is only 11 points out, or they're only 10 points out of home ice. We're starting to see that parity that I think we saw a lot of last year, at least more of last year, in that 1-7 for most of the season. And it's starting to take shape. And Augustana really feels like the team that has the best chance of catching Minnesota State, not just because they're in second place, but because every single one of their games means a little bit more. And so that means every single win that they pick up counts for just a little bit more. And you got to see Augustana this weekend, kind of a thrilling series with I would call them a misleading 5-win Lindenwood team, right? I mean, it's a team that 5 wins, right?
Yes, 5 wins.
Yeah. I mean, it's a team that went on the road to beat Wisconsin to open the year. They just took Augie to overtime. What did you see out of that series?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, you talk about Lindenwood, I didn't get the chance to really talk about this today, but and I might have alluded to it slightly. I've alluded to it to Garrett over the weekend. They remind me a lot in a lot of ways of a CCHA team. I mean, they play a heavy game. They present a lot of the same problems that CCHA teams see night in and night out in their own league. And so I think it was a good test for them as they go into conference play. A lot of what they saw against Lindenwood is a lot of what they're going to be seeing over these next 4 weekends. And for Augustana, this is a true test of their season right now. And I think they're excited for it. I talked with Rebs this afternoon. The team is ready. They're ready to, they love going on the road too. And I think that this is a huge opportunity for them to, as they start, you know, they're going to get Bowling Green this weekend. it's going to be a fun series. Two of the Mike Richter Award watch list guys in this series with Augustinus, Josh Kotai, and on the other side for Bowling Green, Christian Stover. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this morning too. Christian Stover and Cole Moore both shared the net this weekend. So there's a chance we could see Cole Moore. Who knows? I know Rabs is not ruling that out by any means. There's an opportunity that you know, I think the good thing for Augustana is they've seen both these goalies, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about how this is the team that they opened their home slate with at the Denny last year. Their first home series was against Bowling Green, so they're gonna get Bowling Green again. And you know, for a Bowling Green team that didn't lose anybody, they remember that series pretty well. And so I know they're gonna be ready to go. Dennis Williams' team is really clicking right now. There was a moment, I think, that back in December where we were looking at Bowling Green and we were going, like, they're kind of slumping, they're kind of sliding, and they have completely corrected that. They've really been on a solid streak here lately. You talk about guys like Brody Waters who have really getting it done for them right now. Ryan O'Hara, you know, they have some pieces, and so it'll certainly be a test for them as they kind of get going. You know, looking down the standings, and we didn't talk about the bottom too much, and I think we should call it out. Northern Michigan was dead to rights a couple of weeks ago, and here they are kind of crawling back into this thing. They've got a chance if they can win a couple games here. Huge series this weekend with Michigan Tech. They've got an opportunity to make a push here, and then, you know, in that 7-6-7 spot, Jared, St. Thomas and Bemidji with a massive series this weekend. They're 458 and 438. St. Thomas is right ahead of them in the points percentage in the standings. And there's no bigger series than right now for those two teams. And just give us a scoop, Jared. What's going on with Bemidji and how are they feeling kind of going into this series?
I think they're kind of licking their wounds, right? I mean, it's hard not to after getting swept by a 2-win team that's now a 4-win team at home. But you know, like Tom Ceratori said, a lot of credit needs to go to that Northern Michigan team. And, you know, I think that the credit only extends so far. At some point, you kind of have to kick it into gear and pick up points in a series like that, especially if you're at home. But Northern Michigan, especially defensively, was remarkable. I mean, they just no ice was free, especially in their own zone. They got great goaltending and did a really, really, really good job of clogging up lanes and limiting Bemidji State to things that they don't like to do. And, you know, when you don't get second and third chance opportunities in front of the net, you're not going to score. And guys like Ryan Ouellette and Nett make that a challenge. And especially with some of the defenders they have in front of them, like the one we talked to today, and then Tyna Newert. I mean, he had a good series, as did pretty much every Northern Michigan defender. I don't remember a whole lot of odd man rushes given up by that team to a Bemidji State team that likes to play with a lot of speed and likes to play with that heavy forecheck. And we talked to Tynan a little bit about that and the series that they just had and kind of the reaction and the run they've been on. It's a team that's won 3 out of 4. And Trent, what else did we go over with Tynan?
Yeah, we went over the hockey career. We did we gave him the reporter's corner rundown. I mean, you know, we went through it all. He grew up in Duncan, British Columbia. You know, we talked a little bit about his journey starting there and, you know, at what point, you know, hockey really started to become a reality for him. His dad was involved in hockey and I know that was a stepping stone for him. And then obviously he went and played in the Sask League for 3 years, for the Battlefords North Stars and, won a Sask title, got to play in the Centennial Cup. So we talked a little bit about that as well. For those of you who don't know, like we say in the show, the Centennial Cup is, a national championship for junior A hockey in Canada. And it was that's a cool experience to be able to go and be a part of that. And then obviously he transferred in this season, from St. Cloud, obviously, Northern's new coach, Dave Shyack, friend of the pod, it was an assistant coach at St. Cloud. And so, I think a big reason that he ultimately ended up here at Northern, cause he was originally going to transfer to Ferris State was the fact that, you know, Dave Shyack was going to be here. And so, he was part of that 24 new players, for Northern this year, which is just unreal, but hey, it's really cool to kind of see them sort of come together right now. They're really getting some good signature wins and kind of putting some stuff together. And so we talked a little bit about this season too, and just these last couple weeks and how big that's been for him. And we got his take on his goalie, like you mentioned, Ryan Ouellette, who's just having a great season. And then we talked a little about the rivalry between them and Michigan Tech. So, it's a good episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. And Jared, anything else?
Nope. So let's just kick it over to our interview with Tynan Ewer. All right. We are joined by Northern Michigan's Tynan Ewer, coming off of a big weekend up in Bemidji. And I think that's the perfect place to start, not only with the two-game sweep you guys had on the road, but it's three out of your last four with a win over a ranked Minnesota State team. So let's just start with, you know, what's going right for the Wildcats right now?
Yeah, I think stuff has just kind of started clicking finally for us. You know, we've preached like our details and our structure and stuff the whole year, and I feel like we're really buying into that these last couple of games, and we're starting to see results because of it.
Yeah, and you know, I would imagine, is this just the process of 24 new players just gelling at the right time? I mean, I would imagine it takes a while, right? Like, you know, you add that many new players to a team, whether they're transfers or freshmen, it's going to take a little bit for it to start to click. Is that kind of what's happening right now?
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, we have a really good group and everyone's getting along and having a great time at the rink, but still getting to know, like, playing with each other and stuff, that takes time. And I think, yeah, like you said, we're starting to see those results now.
Yeah, one thing I got for you to follow up on that a little bit, you're the leading shot blocker in the conference. I just noticed this today, and I'm curious to know, where does that mentality sort of come from? You know, is that just kind of your game? I mean, are you just more of a stay-at-home guy, or, I mean, do you like getting on the offensive side a little bit?
Yeah, I'd say I like to contribute offensively when I can, but as far as like blocking shots, it's just part of the job kind of thing, just doing what I'm supposed to do. So
you're a nail gun. That's right.
I don't know that.
We want to get into how you got to Northern, and you kind of took a little bit of a winding road, just as everybody kind of does to get to wherever they are in college hockey. But you're a BC kid, grew up in Duncan. Just talk about what hockey was like for you growing up.
Yeah, it always played a big part of my life. My dad played hockey and just kind of fell into his footsteps. Left home pretty early, like 15, 16, to my hockey academy in Manitoba, and you know, developed well out there, and then onto the SJHL, which I played 2-3 years if you count the COVID cancel season. And then obviously my first year of college, I was at St. Cloud, and then, you know, built a bit of a relationship with Dave there. And when I heard he was getting the head coaching job here and I was already in the portal, it was kind of a no-brainer to continue that. And yeah, I've been enjoying it.
I'm curious to know too, just people who are probably listening to this have no clue, even they probably couldn't find Duncan on a map if they tried. What is it? I mean, I actually looked it up. I was like looking at some pictures. It looks beautiful. Like every photo I've seen of British Columbia. Tell us about Duncan and just the area you kind of grew up in.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I love living on the island. You know, there's lots of beaches and nice, not weather's not too bad, not too cold, not too hot. So, and yeah, and then it's pretty good.
You said you went to your hockey academy. Is that kind of when you realized that, hey, maybe, you know, playing college hockey, major, juniors, whatever route at that point, when did you realize that hockey would be a thing for you kind of beyond schooling, beyond youth hockey?
I mean, I always wanted it to be. I think I told my parents when I was like 5 or 6, I wanted to move away and play hockey. I just kind of stuck with it. And then, yeah, through that academy and my last couple years of junior, having kind of the success I did and our team success, then, you know, the college door started opening and that became much more of a reality for me.
Yeah, I definitely want to bring up your junior career. I mean, you played 3 years in the SJHL with the Battlefords North Stars. You had a 2022-23 season. You had 70 points, and you were the defenseman of the year in the SASC League. I mean, how did those years prepare you just kind of for the college level?
Yeah, I think, you know, those seasons are a bit longer and harder. You know, you're playing three games a week sometimes, three games in 3 days, and just kind of conditioning your body and stuff. And then obviously it's high-level hockey, good speed, like strength of guys. So I think it all played a role in getting me to where I am now.
Yeah, I know you guys made it to the Centennial Cup Championship that final season of juniors in 2023. And if you guys are listening and don't know, the Centennial Cup is the national championship for junior A hockey in Canada. And Battleford's won the round robin and got all the way to the title game. And you guys lost the Brooks Bandits from the AJHL. What was it like to just be a part of that tournament? That's gotta be that's cool. I wish we had that in the States, honestly.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I remember growing up, like the finals of the Centennial Cup's always on television. So we'd always have that on, and then seeing some of my buddies playing or guys I've played against that have been there too. And then finally getting to experience that the tournament and just getting to play, those teams from different leagues and kind of see where you stack up in, the all of Canada for junior hockey. It's a pretty cool experience.
And one thing I noticed too, a guy named Ethan Barwick was on that Brooks team that beat you guys, had a shutout in the title game. And so here you guys both are now at NMU all these years later. Has that been brought up at all? I mean, now that you guys are on the same team?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool to kind of come full circle and play with guys that I played against. Poshak was also on that team, and you know, they like to give it to me every once in a while. So
that's cool.
I want to talk to you a little bit about St. Cloud State, because you know, you played 19 games for them last year, and you know, it was it's an adjustment for everybody to come in from juniors to college hockey, whether you're playing in the BC, the SJ, U show, right? Like, everybody has to make that jump. And just talk about that adjustment for you and what was the kind of the thing you had to get the hang of right away?
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't easy, but I mean, everyone goes through it eventually in hockey. So I kind of knew now getting up into this level that it would be a possibility. I'd say obviously the strength of guys, like, it's a growing men's game now. Speed, that kind of falls in the same thing. And then just kind of the detail side, like, everybody's so good in our league that one mistake, it can be in the back of your net. So just all those together.
Did you have like a welcome to college hockey moment where you're like, oh man, this is bigger, stronger, faster? Some kids say it's, you know, I got burned on a on the blue line, or they get just pounded in a corner and they don't expect it. So did you have one of those moments?
I remember getting hit pretty hard, like one of my first games. I guess that probably counts. So yeah.
Yeah, it's usually what it goes like.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, you know, coming into this year, you're one of 9 transfers that chose Northern Michigan this summer. Originally, you were going to play for Ferris State. I'm curious to know, you know, you mentioned the relationship with Coach Shayek, and what sold you on becoming a Wildcat? Was it just that prior relationship, or, you know, was there something more?
I mean, that probably played the biggest role. Obviously, here, too, really nice facilities and a good school. So that also played in, but yeah, I think, you know, knowing the coach that well and kind of being accustomed to most of the systems and everything, it just makes the transition a whole lot easier. So that's definitely the biggest reason.
And to add on to that, I mean, we've talked to Shek a little bit too. We had him on this show, and you know, we can see just the passion that he has, not only for college hockey, but, you know, for Northern Michigan and building up the program again. And, but from on the inside of the program, what kind of a coach is he and what does he like to play for?
Yeah, he's great. I mean, he won the championship here. You know, he really loves this place. So, yeah, it makes it easy to play for him. You know, he doesn't expect anything crazy, but he'll get on you to, like, he just wants the best for you. And you know, I really think that's like a good quality in a coach.
Yeah. You come into one of those transfers, on this new team, Ryan Ouellette, outstanding season. He's got a 922 save, 2.73 GAA in 22 games. How much easier is it to play with a guy like that behind you?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you lots of confidence when you have a goalie like that behind you. And, yeah, just like kudos to him for such a great year so far.
I got to ask, too, I mean, with 24 new players on a team, those first few days had to be a whole lot different than maybe every other college hockey team. And so what were those first few days when everybody's kind of around each other for the first time and just that kind of get to know you process?
Yeah, it's probably different than most teams experience, but most of us are all connected in some way. You know, we've played with guys that are friends with everyone or played against people or have stories that kind of collide with each other. So, you know, the first couple of days was just kind of a lot of that and trying to get to know everyone as quick as you can.
For sure. You got your first taste of playing in the GLI this year. How special of a weekend is that out in Michigan? And what was it like playing against Michigan Tech in that tournament?
Yeah, it was a really cool weekend. Pretty good crowd and stuff. And then, yeah, just we played Tech, which, you know, rivals, and those are always fun games to play in. And then, two, getting to play a team like Michigan State that, you know, you're not always going to get a chance to play. So, yeah, it's a cool experience.
Now, one thing I want to follow up on a little bit, too, is I read a story from our colleague Mick Hatton out in St. Cloud. He writes for the St. Cloud Live. And in it, I caught something from your former coach, Braden Klimosko. Is that how you say it? Klimosko?
Klimosko,
out in Battlefords. He mentioned that you do yoga as part of your preparation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think yoga is entirely too common in the world of college hockey. How has that helped you not only with hockey, but just in general with like just that state of mindfulness? Do you still do it?
I don't even really do yoga. He walked in.
You don't?
There was like a couple of us. I think like we were just trying something new or I don't know, bored on an off day. Someone brought up, oh, let's do yoga. And he happened to be in the rink. And yeah, now I guess that's following me around. I don't do yoga.
I just caught that tidbit.
Oh yeah.
I caught that tidbit that I didn't know if that was legit or not. So I had to follow up on it.
Yeah. There's definitely other stuff I do, but not yoga.
He kind of sewered you a little bit. Holy cow. Yeah. you know, you've already played Michigan Tech four times. I want to tap into the rivalry there because it is probably the biggest rivalry in this league. And four times, including an exhibition. But, you know, what have you learned about this rivalry between these two schools and just getting the chance to play in it a little bit already?
Yeah, just like the intensity of it, I guess. You know, those are games that you're always fired up to play against. You know, the schools behind you, like, when we go to Michigan Tech, their school, they have all their chants and stuff. And then we come back home and our school's doing the exact same thing. So it's just a really cool atmosphere to be in.
You know, being that Schick's an NMU alum, you know, did he tell you guys anything, give you any tidbits in particular about this rivalry, you know, before that first meeting in October?
Yeah, he definitely brought it up a couple of times. And then some of the guys from last year too touched on some of the stuff. So we were prepared and, yeah, looking forward to it this weekend again.
One, you know, I'll follow up on that just a little bit. I'm curious to know, too, just you get your first goal this season, too. What was that like for you at the college level? It had to be a pretty exciting moment just for you in general. What do you remember about it?
Yeah.
Alaska Anchorage, I believe.
Yeah, definitely pretty cool. Just a four-on-four shift. My D partner, Joe Shillery, gave me a nice pass there, and I kind of just walked down like top of the circles and just shot it. It went in. Yeah.
So we kind of wrap this up by asking the usual questions to everybody, players and coaches, and so we'll go through them with you here too. So we always start with, you know, where is the toughest place to play in the CCHA? Now I'd imagine you haven't played in all of them yet, maybe not. So, toughest place you played in the CCHA so far, and then you can add the toughest place you played in college hockey.
All right, I'll probably go with Michigan Tech, just kind of the rivalry, and yeah, tough pace to play. They're a good team. That honestly might be up there. Colorado is a pretty hard place to play too. But yeah, those two come to mind.
Yeah.
Is it the altitude or?
Yeah. I think it affects
it. Just gassed after a half a shift.
Yeah.
How about the most talented player you've ever played with, shared the ice with?
Like on my team or just
anybody? Yeah, anybody.
Yeah.
Put me on the spot here.
It usually does.
I'll go with Dylan Anhorn. I learned a lot from him last year, so kind of a role model.
He was nasty. Yeah. Who is the most famous person in your cell phone? Oh.
No one, probably. Yeah.
Every one of these is a letdown after Aaron Trotter said it was Connor Bedard. So
it's
a high bar to click.
No one has yet. So, how about the most? I know you know you're still learning each other, but is there a guy on the team that is the most superstitious that you have kind of caught on to?
Could even be me. I don't know. I like my.
All right, you mentioned it. Like, what are your superstitions? Because you said it's not yoga, but you do some stuff. So, like, what's the stuff that you do?
Oh, I mean, basically the same as everyone else. I kind of have my routine. I go through nap and all that. Nothing like too crazy, but I'll say one of the goalies. Probably that's always the classic answer for that.
Always,
always a goal.
Always,
always a goal. Anyways, thank you. Thank you for hopping on. We appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend against Michigan Tech, and hopefully you guys can keep this train rolling here.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Once again, thank you to Tiny Newart for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Urbato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.